Okay. I'm going to look at the concluding comments in Rabbi Rosner's Sefer on Vasana. He turns to the pasuk, "Vasisa hayashar v'hatayv b'yinei Hashem." You're required to do what is right and good in the eyes of Hashem. And he says, the Gemara tells us there are 613 mitzvos. And he says, but the Gemara doesn't list them. And as he points out, and we know, throughout the generations, different ones of the Gedolim codified what they believed to be the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam, the Ramban, the Chinuch, etc. And they're not exact. Nobody has the exact same list. Okay. He says, regardless of the list, this pasuk here, what's it adding? If we have 613 laws already, aren't we doing what's right, what's good? The Ramban says, no, no, this pasuk is really needed. We can be given mechanical details how to do a mitzvah, but this can never cover, he says, every scenario where that mitzvah is possible. We can be told, he says, don't cheat, lie, steal. But not in every case is it crystal clear what's happening. When an individual has to decide how to behave under certain conditions, there may be no clear guidance, and that may be the general way it is, other than make a bracha on a clap of water. And he says that's when this pasuk comes into play. To conduct ourselves in the way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers correct and proper, we have to ask the question, what would my Rebbe Muvhak, my prime teacher, do here? Rav Asher Weiss, in his Minchat Asher, says the ideals that underlie the Torah and express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is here. And therefore, he tells us, there are times we have to go lifnei meshuras adin, beyond the technical letter of the law. Rabbi Rosner quotes of Achana Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who said, this was a mistake that Bilam made. In the text of the Torah, Bilam seemed to try to be compliant with Hashem's commands. He acknowledged he couldn't go, as Bilak asked him to, without God's permission. And after much pleading, he got a Kadosh Baruch Hu's blessing or approval. You can go, kulei chintam, go with them. However, it says, he went imam with them. Hashem said, physically, I'll let you go. He said, no, I'm going to join the party. I'll do what they want. That wasn't what Hashem said. So the technical word of the Almighty, Bilam tried to get on the proper side of. But he had no desire whatever to understand what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What should he really do? And clearly it wasn't to go and attempt to curse Klal Yisrael. It's easy to teach children a list of mitzvahs. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. Here's an example, etc. But he says there are times we have to take children and say, okay, I'm going to give you a case scenario. And in that case scenario, I'm going to tell you, here's what you're going to be faced with. What would you do? And in this case, the child will not necessarily or may not be able to refer to the rules he knows. Rather, he's going to have to ask that difficult question. What would my father, what would my Rebbe, what would my father in heaven want me to do? And he said, you should bring these situations in front of children so they can learn how to behave. We're not required to merely observe Taryag Mitzvah 613. We're required to have a high moral and ethical standard of behavior. We're required to be people who are Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, who by our actions bring glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, we can refer to this as the unwritten section of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The one that tells you how to apply the others. Rabbi Rosner then turns to putting on a mezuzah. And he says, when we put on a mezuzah, we have a bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made us holy with his mitzvahs, and he commanded us, likboya mezuzah, to put up, to affix a mezuzah. And he points out, the word mezuzah technically means a doorpost. And he says, clearly, we're not being told to put a doorpost on our entrances. Rather, we know that it's the parchment with the Kriya Shema, right, and the various parshas. So why don't we make a bracha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to affix HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name on the doorpost. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to affix a part of the Torah there. Why do we call the mezuzah, quote, a doorpost? He quotes a Rav Mecklenburg in Haksava HaKabbalah, says the word zuz means move. The classic example is money being called zuzit because it moves around. It circulates from person to person. It moves between transaction and transaction. And, right? The Tzavah Kabbalah says doorposts are considered mezuzos because people go through them to get from one point to another. Rabbi Rosner says, maybe the kavana that a mezuzah is placed on a doorpost and called a mezuzah is to symbolize an individual's movement in life. When we exit our homes and when we enter other locations, we move through the world, its physicality. The mezuzah on the doorpost acts as a reminder that in all of these transitions, in all these movements, we've got to remember, right? To remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the principles of the Torah in each step taken. He says, we take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. We take a symbol of our Ahavas Hashem, our love of Hashem, of our Ahavas Torah, our love of learning Torah, to all of our movements in life. Putting on the mezuzah is a one-time event, but it has infinite application. It's not ended when the nails affix the, right? The parchment or the case to the wall. Now we look at it, we have to remember how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every activity. He says, it's a reminder that we really should not sleepwalk through life. Shouldn't be an automatic pilot. He quotes from the Rambam, a person should be careful with the mitzvah of mezuzah. It's a permanent obligation on everyone. When one comes into a home or leaves a home that has a mezuzah, he is basically being confronted with the declaration of Shema Yisrael El Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unity. And we have to remember, or should remember, the next parsha of Yahavta Hashem Elokecha, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we would stop and think about that, he says, there's no way we're going to slumber, and there's no way we're going to foolishly move into what he calls temporal vanities. He says, the mezuzah is here to restore individuals to the right frame of mind. And the right frame of mind allows, encourages mitzvah. Many people will feel that once the mezuzah is on the door, it's a security guard to protect the home from intruders. But, as Rosner says, the content of the mezuzah has to be alevavecha, on all of our hearts, to internalize the true meaning, and then to ensure that it protects our neshamas, our souls. Not only the physical aspect of our environment. Affixing a mezuzah is affixing our movements in accordance with the Torah. His last essay in Shalom Rav is the significance of the letter Vav. He quotes the Otzer Tzvila, which compiled statements by Achronim on the Siddur, and he says, Shema, Rav Pinchas, who was the author of the Siddur Shar HaRachamim, said, in the morning after we say Shema, the Siddur lists 16 words to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emet, the Yatsu, the Nakom, right? True, enduring, correct. After the first word, the next word has a Vav. He says there's also 16 pesukim in the first two paragraphs of Shema. Rav Pinchas says that each word parallels one of these psukim. Each pasuk in the first two paragraphs begins with the letter Vav. He says the Vav is known to be a truthful letter. The Ot Emet, he calls it the letter of truth. Because, he says, it's the only letter that's a straight line, top to bottom. Therefore, it's the best indicator that everything said with it is MS, truthful. He said, if you look closely, he says, you're going to see there's one pasuk that doesn't have a love. The pasuk that warns us not to worship other gods begins Hishamru Lachem, Pen Yiftel Avavchem. Guard yourself. There's no Vav because there is no MS in the serving of idols. He quotes from Rav Meir Goldvist, who I believe is a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, that the middle letter of the Torah is a Vav. In the word gachain, because it attests to the MS of both halves of the Torah. He says the only time the word gachon, translated as belly, appears in the Torah is with respect to the curse of the snake. The snake is cursed to move on its belly. The word is written there without a vav. So the only time it's written with the vav is the mid-word of the Torah. Because the vav is honest. It can't say that the snake acted appropriately. We know the Nahash, the original snake, was deceptive. And because it was deceptive, instead of standing as it did once, straight, it now is a swiggle. It can only move in a zigzag fashion because it acted with no truth initially. He says, these are only two of many examples of the uniqueness of our Aleph Beis. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's placing the truthful letter Vav at the beginning of each pasuk in Shema and the pair word after Shema attests to its absolute authenticity. My friend, in his first sefer on the Parsha, talks about the mitzvah of honoring one's mother and father, like a Kaddish, as Hashem said, so you can lengthen your life. And my friend says, why? The Torah gives us one reason in Shmos, so that you may live long. And in the Eschanan, it says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do so. Why this change? The Meshech Chachma quotes the Rishalmi that says, honoring parents is an easy mitzvah. He says, logically, every debt we ever incur has to be repaid. When we loan money on a mortgage, we repay it. By the same token, he says, every individual has a debt to pay to the parents for raising them. And he quotes that when he wrote this sefer a number of years ago, he said it must cost between $100,000 and $200,000 to raise a child. Probably a lot more now. It requires time, effort, energy. So at least we can give those who have spent so much in time, effort, and money honor. But the Torah is telling us this is not the motivation. It's not self-evident to make payment on the debt owed to parents. It's only an obligation because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do so. It says the Torah waited until Veschana, after the 40-year sojourn in the desert. During those years, you can imagine, raising children was fairly easier than it is today. You didn't have to worry about parnasa. Man came from heaven. Water came from a well. Clothing never had to be replaced. It grew with you, and the wind cleaned it perpetually. They didn't need orthodontic braces because the Kodesh Baruch Hu kept people in pristine health. And yet, this generation was told by Moshe Rabbeinu, you're required to honor your parents. Here it couldn't be to repay a debt, although there's probably some debt anyway. But it's not to pay as big a debt. Rather, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah. And he quotes the famous story of Dama ben Nissina, when the Beis HaMikdash needed a replacement stone for the Umin Betumin, and they knew that this non-Jew Duma had it, they came to see him. And they offered him an exorbitant amount of money. And he said, I'm sorry, gentlemen, I would love to help you, but the key to the safe where I keep this is under my father's pillow. My father took a nap. I will never disturb him when he's sleeping. And the Chachamim left. And he realized what he had forgone in money. A year later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him, and in his herd, he had a perfect red cow, Par Aduma. And the Chachamim came to him, right? And they said, here's a blank check, fill it in. And he said, I know, I can hold you up for astronomical amounts of geld. But I understand, all I want is the amount of money you offered me for that stone last year. No more. I know that God has rewarded me for that, and that's the just remuneration. He says, this set the parameters for the mitzvah of honoring parents. He says, even though the Talmud is quoting the behavior of someone non-Jewish, right? It is still the standard. And what my friend says, I've seen it all, and he's been involved in family matters for many, many years. I've seen as parents age. I've seen them when they're quarrelous, when they're irrational, and when the children are pulling out their hairs trying to make them happy. And he said, and people will say to themselves, Admasai, how much? How can I keep doing this? Like, I'm trying to do my best. And he says, Dhamma Vinasena teaches that he could have said, maybe I should just rattle some change in front of my father. So wake up. And when I tell him I'm going to make $1 million, he won't be sad. Maybe I should try to slide my fingers under the pillow and get the key. But he didn't do it. He said, I have the ability to do the perfect service in rendering respect. And he says, my friend, this is the standard that we have to at least meet. He said, if someone who's not from Avram Yitzchak Yaakov can behave in that fashion, how much more so does it set a standard for Am Yisroel, who is totally Kaddish? Okay, I'm trying to